Okay.
So during your time, the majority of the students were Quakers?
Well, I would think they were, yes. There were certainly a great many. I think Penn Charter School was a feeder for Haverford, and that certainly didn't have all Quaker students.
Oh, no, definitely.
And so that, but I...
And at that time, Richard Jones, your cousin, was head of William Penn
Charter
School?
Well, he was headmaster until 1917,
right,
when he died. And then Richard Montgomery...
Son of
Francis Bart Montgomery.
Became head. There were very close relationships.
And there was very close, and of course Penn Charter was a sort of semi-Quaker school, I suppose.
Right.
And there were also a good many students, I think, came from Moses Brown
School in Providence.
In Providence, and that was Quaker school. But I know that there were many that were not.
Well, now, can we talk a little bit about the pond and its uses in winter?
Well, I can remember when the skating pond was a pasture for the ponies of Mr. Who lived across Hertz, Mr. Bright, who lived across Railroad Avenue, now space occupied by Whitehall Apartments.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to put his pony in there in the summer. And then in the winter, it was dammed up, flooded, and it was a skating pond. But you could only skate, of course, when the ice was safe. And Harry Carter, who was a very important member of the I would say the grounds team at Haverford, was in charge of the skating house, which was then on the other side of the pond from where it is now. And I could look out of our bathroom window and see whether there were people skating on the pond and know whether it was worth going down there with my skates. But I learned to skate on that pond, and I skated there a great deal. It seems to me we had more ice then than we used to, than we do now.
Right.
It was a real gathering place, and there was a big pot-bellied stove in the skating house that Harry Carter kept boiling hot. And you'd come in and warm yourself around the stove and then go out and skate, play hockey. And Mrs. William Comfort, Mary Fales Comfort, was a beautiful skater. And I remember seeing Mrs. Comfort sailing around that pond, and she could waltz. And she would gather up some of us young things and try to teach us to waltz with her.
Somebody was making music somewhere?
No, we didn't have any music.
She just waltzed with you?
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
And there was a big pole in the middle, and at night, if it was skating at night, there would be a big light on the top of the pole, and we'd skate in the evening.
Fun.
And it was absolutely one of the greatest things that ever happened. And then in the winter, when there was snow, we coasted down what people now call Buttercup Hill, but it didn't have that name when I was a child. It was just a hill beside the skating pond that went off the path going over to the Conklin Gate, where eventually the Collinses lived. It used to be the Ellis Yarnell House, which was a station for the railroad, I believe, when the railroad was there. But there's quite a good coasting hill there, and all the Ardmore kids and everybody came and coasted there.
There was a mixing of town and
it was absolute mixing of everything, and sometimes it was a little frightening because the big boys could be
disagreeable
and scary.
Yes.
Trying to stop your skating, your coasting. And of course, when I first lived in Two College Circle, it was very much an Italian community on the other side of the pasture, which was there. And gradually the Italians moved away and the blacks came in. And it was a practically entirely a Negro section back there.
Of Ardmore.
Because in back of College Circle was the pasture for the cows that lived in the barn that provided the milk that the college had.
And where was, the barn is still the barn.
Well, it burned and they rebuilt it, a smaller version, and then they gave up having the farm.
I see.
And the house that is number 6 College Circle was the farmer's house, and a man named Herbert Barker was a farmer and lived there. And on Christmas morning, we got a pint of cream left at our door.
Each faculty member received a pint of cream.
Wonderful.
Generous.
And the spring house was in below the Barker house, and that was where they kept the milk and the cream.
And no pasteurization, I expect.
Oh, no, nothing like that. And then there was an enormous coal pile for the powerhouse, which was just across from College Circle, where there is still, I'm not sure what's there now, but I think Flo Gentzner has her office, and there are several offices across the back of the Cricket House.
Well, now, did the college supply the faculty houses with heating? There was a system?
No, it was the college buildings. Faculty houses had their own furnaces.
Run by their owners.
But there was an enormous coal pile of small coal, pea coal, I suppose it was, that was used in the powerhouse, which a girl that I don't know where she came from, and I slid down one day.
Must have been a sight for sore eyes when you stood up.
And my mother came over hunting for me and found me in this rather. She picked me up by the scruff of the neck and dropped me in the stream by the spring house. I can remember that to this
day. Yeah, you would remember.
And I don't know what happened to my companion.
She went home and got
But Anna Pratt and I climbed almost all the trees on the around the circle and in back of our houses and everywhere.
She was a companion who enjoyed doing the same sort of thing.
She did the same sort of thing. And Donald Baker did too.
Well, the trees had their day then.
Yes. Oh, they were terribly important. And I watched cricket on the field from the top of a maple tree in front of our house.
Well, I think we've really done pretty well here. Do you have any other little items that you'd like to see be recorded so we don't have to bother you another time? Is there any long thoughts about the last year or two that your father was on campus? I mean, not whether he was on campus, but he was on the faculty and was teaching actively. I know I've heard many people say that they changed their course in order to get to hear the last series of lectures that he gave.
Well, he retired in 1934, and at the end of the college year, and I think that is true. A good many students, realizing they would not ever be able to have him as professor, took his courses earlier than junior or senior year, if they could. Mm-hmm. They could do that.
What was he principally teaching toward the end of his life?
Well, he was teaching philosophy and ethics and the development of Christian thought, I think, with this. He was teaching psychology, but Douglas Steere came, I think, in 1928 as assistant to Father. And I think he gradually took over most of the psychology.
Right.
But I'm sure Father was still teaching ethics and philosophy.
And there was, at that point, even no direct teaching of Quakerism such as Ed Bronner now does.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think there was, but I could be wrong. Father may have brought some of it in.
I'm sure he did.
And Uncle Billy may have brought some in, too.
Uncle Billy's field, though, was French, I think.
Oh, that was French, yes, yeah. Definitely. Yes.
Well, I think we've had a useful time, and I've jotted down all the names you mentioned in case we have trouble when we're listening to it and transcribing it to see who they were.
I'm still trying to think of what that middle son of Dr. Gumry's was. I know perfectly well.
Well, think of it in the middle of the night.
This is what happens to me. I go blank.
Well, sure. It happens to a lot of us. I trust you've turned that instrument off.
Not yet.
Dear me, you've heard too much of me then.
Could I get you some coffee now?
No, not another thing.
Well, I'm